till they've made the first push. They'll be expecting us to go in 10 and be backing them up. Why let them take the brunt?
Why not? I just say that we wait until the muties have their attention focused one way, then hit the fuckers from the other way.
But without them knowing, there's no telling...
Listen, bitch, who the fuck's in charge here?
JB stepped forward and pulled Mildred back.
Not now, Millie.
He spoke in a softer voice when the sec chief's attention was taken by one of his own men.
Who says we have to do what that bastard says anyway?
Mildred caught the meaning behind the armorer's words and gave the briefest gesture of agreement. Independently, Doc and Dean had come to the same conclusion.
We can't let this happen, Doc.
The old man cradled his Lama, winked at the boy, and pouted with mock sadness.
Ah, but these old weapons, and indeed the old men using them, can be a trifle erratic at times.
Ryan checked his wrist brawn and stole a glance at Alien. The raw Baron was stone-faced. Any emotion he may feel about going into a firefight tightly reined in. By his side were Jack and Blake. The small, wizened sec man seemed to grow in stature as he felt the time for battle come near. He was breathing slowly and deeply, his eyes far away and focused on what was to come. Looking around, Ryan could see that the rest of the sec men were also readying themselves in their own way. Beside him, Christy was hunkered down, her Smith & Wesson blaster clenched in her hand, her fingers coiled around the barrel, and threw the trigger guard with a deceptive languor. The flame-haired beauty turned to him.
Not now, but later. Then we need to worry.
Ryan nodded, then checked his prawn again. It was time. They had been following at a distance, observing the mutie raiding party. Two of the muties had fallen by the wayside already, one of the Sun Children and the Sticky, chilled by the random blaster shots from the hyped-up muties. Given a long enough approach to Raw, they could probably do a very good job of chilling themselves. But there wasn't the distance. And now the time was up, and Harvey's men should also be ready. Ryan looked at Downey. The silver-maned sec man caught Ryan's eye and nodded.
It's time. Let's go get 'em.
And it began. Ryan sprang forward, the taut muscles on his thighs and the strong, powerful calf muscles propelling him forward in an explosive burst. He brought JB's M4000 across his chest, keeping a firm hold as he broke cover. Downey was beside him, moving over the ground as though he were hovering above it, snapping back the sharps and chambering the first round ready for a mutie. They broke cover in two waves, spread across a distance of only a few yards. A Sticky at the rear of the party turned and lunged toward the ambush party. Not wasting a shot at this point, Jack's knife flashed through the space between them and connected with the Sticky, slicing through the jelly-like pale flesh at the creature's throat and producing streams of thin, watery blood that ran down the creature's neck and chest. He tried to scream, but a thin, pained keening was all that emerged, followed by a gurgle as it drowned on its own blood, falling forward as consciousness slipped away. By the time the Sticky hit the carpet of creepers across the forest floor, the majority of the ambush party had passed it and were in the middle of a firefight. Downey and Ryan were side by side, the sec man snapping off shots from the sharps that took out confused muties as they attempted to turn to face their attackers without careering into each other. Ryan targeted a densely packed area of mutie flesh with the M4000 to cause the maximum impact.
We fighting on our own, Downey?
The one-eyed warrior heard the Baron from beside him, interrupted by a random burst of fire from his Uzi. It was a familiar sound, but an unfamiliar pattern, and Ryan guessed that it had been a long time since Alien had regularly used a blaster. And if they made it back alive, Harvey may have a few uncomfortable moments. From their cover, the second ambush party saw Ryan and Downey emerge, saw Jack claim first blood, and saw the heaving mass of muties turn to face the sec force.
It'll be a massacre. It must be 4-1 out there. Wait.
No way.
The armorer readied his Uzi. From the corner of his eye, he saw that Mildred had already sighted one mutie from this range, possibly at the edge of target range, but her practiced eye gauged that it was just close enough for her to get a lethal shot. The checkmate ZKR was a good blaster, with the high degree of accuracy demanded by its previous life as a competition weapon.
Go, Millie!
The armorer's thin, wire-strong limbs shot him forward and out of the undergrowth. He heard Harvey curse at the same moment as the crack of Mildred's blaster resounded in his ears. JB broke cover about 50 yards to the left of the other sec ambush party. He raised the Uzi and cut loose. the 9mm rounds tearing at the exposed flesh of the Sun Children and the Stickies. JB didn't know if the rest of the Sec Force had followed him, or if he faced the muties alone on this flank. Perhaps he wasn't quite alone. The roar of the ancient Lamaze sounded near him, first once and then a second time in quick succession as Doc unleashed ball and shot, dispensing death and agony to another group of muties. The sound was followed swiftly by the crack of Dean's Browning high power. As he picked off the most dangerous of the mutie party from this angle, the armorer sensed, rather than saw, Mildred appear from the foliage, adopting the same technique as Dean. They had the advantage of surprise on their side, which gave them the time to pick their targets, as the slow-witted Stickies and the confused Sun Children had to adjust to the fact that they were being attacked from two directions. More blaster fire rent the air as Harvey, now unable to hold back his men, led the rest of the ambush party into the fray. Doc produced his sword stick, the silver lion's head grasped tight, while the razor-sharp blade carved through the masses. Ryan unsheathed a conga on his thigh and used it as though the mass of beauty flesh were just so much foliage that it needed chopping out of the way, hacking through limbs and torsos that blurred so much that it was only the bright robes of the Sun Children and the hideous, suckered and splayed fingers of the Stickies that told them apart. In the middle of the throng, Jack's white hair whirled around his head like a whip as dervish-like he dealt death in close combat with the leaf-bladed knives. A flick of the wrist carving through the war party, the python safely holstered to enable him to fly his deadly prey. Despite their greater numbers and the fact that they were to some degree armed, the muties were unable to make their numbers count. Those surviving Sun Children, including Sunchild himself, beat an early retreat, leaving the unarmed Stickies to take the brunt of the attack. But not before Sunchild had imparted a chilling message. The mutie leader had been considered a congenital idiot, and perhaps he was, but not so much that he couldn't sidle up to Alien in battle. Before the Baron had a chance to chill him, he was able to hiss out a few words.
Big chill come your way soon.
And even as Alien leveled his blaster, the mutie leader was gone. Ryan was close enough to hear, and wondered what the mutie meant by his statement. But that was for later. Now it was time to gather their forces and assess the damage. A few of the Sec men turned to pursue the straggling Stickies who were able to make their escape, until Alien gestured to his men.
Leave them. There's been enough slaughter. Let's collect ourselves and return home. They won't come back in a hurry.
Ryan gave the Baron a quizzical look. Would he mention the Mutie's threat to Harvey later, when they had privacy? Even as the Baron spoke, Mildred began the task of attending to the wounded. There were two Sec men with blaster wounds, four who had knife wounds of varying degrees, one of whom would need to be carried home, and 12 minor bite-and-scratch lesions. Blake was one of these, with two scratches on his face and a bite out of his left arm. Jack also had scratches on his face and on his neck, the red welt standing out ugly on his white skin.
Hey, Jack. Think these will turn us into Stickies?
The albino smiled good-humoredly.
Chew me, your fingers start to suck.
Jack admired the way the Sec man fought, and felt a rare trust to have the wizened warrior at his back. Alien took one end of the improvised stretcher, holding the seriously wounded Sec man.
Come, let's return.
Ryan, admiring the way the Baron automatically took the load, grabbed the other end of the stretcher and followed Alien as he led the way back. The one-eyed warrior pondered Sunchild's warning, and also the dark glances Harvey received from JB and Mildred. Perhaps things were coming to a crossroads. There were celebrations in Raw when Alien returned with his Sec Force. While the majority of the Ville celebrated in the central hall with the help of their local brew and a band of musicians, whose sobriety and ability to keep in tune was severely called into question by the end of the proceedings, the Baron was at one point noticeable by his absence. The reserve that the majority of the inhabitants of Raw had held for Ryan and his people evaporated on the strength of their performance during the firefight with the Mutie raiding party. Blake in particular, his arm around Jack, partly from comradeship and partly from the need to hold himself upright, was vociferous in retelling the events of the day. There was no mention of the fact that Harvey had attempted to hold his men back from the attack, although JB did notice that Downey and Rankine, after an intense discussion, had thrown a few askance glances in the direction of the Sec Chief. It was something worth noting for later, something he would discuss with Ryan. That was, if he could find his friend and leader. Ryan had slipped away from the celebration. He had noticed Alien exchanging a few words with Janna, who had nodded dismissively before the Baron had unobtrusively left the proceedings.